Welcome to Bounce Back. My name's Yvonne Fletcher from NY Events and you're listening in on DRN1. Bounce Back is a fun talkback show and today we have some comedians that are not Perth-based. They kind of all got stuck here during COVID-19. Welcome Waka, Eloise and Andrew.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you for joining us. So I'm going to ask you guys a little bit about how you got stuck here and yeah. Basically, you became temporary residents of Perth. We like having you. Thank you.
Thank you.
So tell us your story a little bit. Andrew, do you want to start?
Stuck here is a great choice of words because, I mean, it was more a choice than a start. I don't know if you've picked up any newspaper or seen anything about the UK at the moment, but I'm fine here. This is cool. Like, I can hug my friends here. I was meant to move to Perth anyway this year. I just forgot to leave in March.
Thank goodness.
God.
Good decision.
Although, to be fair, if I'd have gone back any time before July, I could have walked around the UK anyway.
Okay.
Because they didn't put any procedures into lockdown anyone until way too late. But so Adelaide Fringe happened and it was the last day of Adelaide Fringe. And like this show that I was in has sold 100 seats in a 300 seat theatre in advance. They sold no walk-up sales for that day. Oh. And of the 100 people that are booked into this 300-seat venue, only 30% showed up.
Oh, my God.
And
wow.
That was the point where I went, oh, yeah, something really bad's going to happen here.
Yeah.
And then before I knew it, we were meant to be flying the next day to New Zealand and they'd shut their border and then there was a 14-day quarantine, but I was only meant to be there for 6 days. So by the time I'd have got out of quarantine, I'd have missed my show and my flight home.
Wow.
Then Melbourne Comedy Festival was cancelled. And then literally by the end of that week, I had lost every gig this year. It was all gone. In the UK, they've only just started reopening clubs and it's not sensible and people really aren't going to them. And if they are, they're idiots.
Even you telling that story, as much as I've lived through this whole situation with you guys, it gave me goosebumps. It was a freaky, surreal
time
for us all. It's a
weird time.
It's been really, really weird. And like, so my parents were on their world retirement tour.
Oh, poor things.
And really weirdly, when I got back to Perth after Adelaide, so my girlfriend's from WA, so we were planning on moving here at the end of the year anyway.
Great.
But so we came back to see her family and then my parents just happened to get stuck here as well. So for the first month of lockdown, although I didn't move back in with my parents, I was living with my parents in this Airbnb in Coogee and it was horrendous. Like if you think lockdown's bad, try being a 30-year-old man that still lives with his mum. Because that made it a whole, in Coogee of all places.
Yeah.
There's not much in Coogee.
It's pretty nice.
Well, yeah.
It's all right. Coogee here? In Perth?
Yeah.
Oh, then that, yeah, no, sorry, that's not nice. I thought you meant Sydney, sorry.
No.
I was like, oh, babe, that's...
No, there was...
Yeah, exactly. I was like, that's a good comedy there.
There was one supermarket and there was a Dome Cafe and on the first day we moved in, they shut the Dome down indefinitely.
Oh, no.
That's probably a good thing though, Dome Cafes. I don't understand why they still exist.
They're not good.
Sorry, but like if I see people at a Dome, I'm like, are you okay? I was like, why do you want like shit coffee and shit food?
It's a bad Starbucks.
It's like bad... Yeah, it's like bad culture. Sorry. Aww. Sorry, I had to say it. <That's
all right. laughs> What about yourself, Waka?
I'm from Japan and live in Australia and temporary visa. And it's actually the same reason. Comedy Festival cancelled.
Yeah.
And also my girlfriend from Perth. So we moved to Perth.
Both have Perth girlfriends.
So do you reside normally in Perth or was this because of Fringe you were sort of stuck here as well? I shouldn't say stuck because it's such a great place, by the way.
Yeah, in Sydney and
Sydney. Well, you were in Sydney,
yeah,
weren't
Sydney,
you?
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you're here as well. Yeah. And what about yourself, Eloise?
Oh, well, I'm this is a bit of a reveal, but I'm actually from Perth. I'm a Perth girl. Oh. And I know, sorry, it's a shame that neither of you guys are dating me. But I moved away to Sydney 2 years ago. I signed with an acting agent over there and I made the big move and I've been there for 2 years. And then just as Corona started to happen, all my acting auditions finished, my comedy gigs all got cancelled. And then my lease was about to end on the 12th of April and I was like, okay, 48 hours, packed up everything. So all my stuff is in storage in Kennard Storage Warehouse in Waterloo. So thank you. And great place, great service. And so it's actually cheaper to put your stuff there than it probably should just get one of those when I get back and just stay there rent-wise because it's only $150 a month.
Super cheap for Sydney.
Yeah, so cheap. And luckily I made the decision because my – obviously, you know – haven't made it big yet. So my retail job ended up closing 2 days later. So I'm back home with my parents and my sisters, but I can't really complain. It's been pretty nice. And I think for the first time, like, you know, it was sort of nice to hang out with family and finally see friends. Like when I first got back, I thought I had it. I was really sick. So I was like, oh my God, I've infected my whole family. And I was really scared. So I ended up doing the quarantine for 2 weeks, even though I didn't have to.
Yeah.
I beat that. But then I got better and I was like, oh no, I'm okay. And I haven't endangered anyone's health. So yeah, it's nice to be home, but it's weird because I'm in this limbo of like, when am I going to get back and missing all my friends over there more than like, I love Sydney, but I'm probably missing more my friends there than actual the city at the moment. Cause it's a bit dire right now. Everyone's wearing masks and only 10 people in a venue. It's a bit sad.
Yeah. Yeah. And like Andrew said before, it's so nice that we can actually hug. I know we are being encouraged to socially distance. I'm a hugger.
I'm a big hugger. I'm so tactile. I get weird. Waka knows that when we hang out.
I'm bow person.
I'm always like, hug. And Waka's like, get away. But I feel like that was one thing that I couldn't handle at the first. I was like, I can't touch anyone.
I am the opposite. It's been so nice not to have to work out. Because also I'm on tour for so much of the year, so you see people for like 4 weeks of the year, which means you've known someone for 6 years but only at 4 weeks at a time, so you're never quite sure whether you're at the hand stage.
Oh, everyone's at the hugging stage that knows me.
Am I hugging? Are we kissing cheeks?
I'm European, babe. We have to kiss cheeks. I'm Greek, so that's it'd be weird if we
Italian,
did.
So you got to both cheeks, but surprisingly a whole load of Aussie men aren't keen on that.
Weird.
No, it's been,
they came when I do it, but that's, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm a hugger.
We might have different effects on Australian men.
I think so, yeah.
Hey, tell us a little bit about your background. We'll start with you, Eloise, like your comedy background. Where's your journey began?
Well, for me, I've always been a performer since I was really little. So I was a dancer and a singer and since I was about four. And then I would do a bit of acting stuff throughout my sort of primary school, high school days. And then when I finished, I went back to when I finished my first degree at uni, it was film and journalism. So obsessed with that. And then I've always been obsessed with comedy. Always loved watching stand-up, comedy shows. Always, you know, my dad would make me watch, but Benny Hill, like Seinfeld, all those amazing shows. Kath and Kim, I was such a big fan of that show. And then I always wanted to do stand-up, but I didn't know how to find my voice, I don't think. And so acting, I went to Whopper. Started to take it a bit seriously. And then one day while I was at Whopper, it was the break, I think. We're having a few weeks off for the mid-year break. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to do it. And I started writing jokes, but I found like this voice that I don't think I've heard many Australian female comics use, which is sort of like this confident, non-self-deprecating humour, a bit roasty, a bit Joan Rivers, a bit Don Rickles.
Yeah.
Inspired. And then from there, I don't want to say it sounds like my persona on stage. I'm like, I just like got really good at it, but it wasn't like that. It was just that
you are allowed to say that.
Well, it just sort of became like so much fun. It was a bucket list thing that I wanted to tick off. And then I found since moving to Sydney that doing stand up is actually opening more doors acting wise than doing just regular auditions. And I found that especially like in, I guess this time with Instagram and everything, I've been using that as well. So it's been really, really fun. And I got kind of pissed off when I see comedians getting all the acting gigs on TV. Cause I'm like, I'm actually a trained actor. So maybe like I should be there. You know what I mean? Yeah. So So that's been my journey. It was just a hobby thing for me for a while. And I still say that just to piss off some comedians, but it's becoming more of a career prospect, I feel. But yeah.
Oh, that's fantastic. Mm. And Waka?
8 years ago, I came to Australia as an exchange student.
Mm-hmm.
And then I first time I saw like stand-up comedy in English, and I thought I want to try. And I started.
Oh, wow.
And back to Japan. And I did English comedy in Japan.
Oh, fantastic. And what were you studying as an exchange student?
Some like business.
Oh, hello. Very Japanese businessman.
Of course.
That there was the most nondescript answer. Just some like business. Yeah, no further questions.
Yeah.
Wow, what a spin-off from business to comedy, but.
Yeah. I'm happy, but my parents hate it.
Oh, do they? So Japanese.
They don't like, they don't hate, they just don't care.
Okay. Do they think it's just a phase you're going through?
Yeah. Oh my god.
That's okay.
2 years ago, I moved to Australia. And
yeah, and you said you've got your girlfriend. Is she West Australian as well?
Yeah. So I'm staying with her and the parents.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah.
Well, stay home. great Aussie experience.
Oh yeah, that's very authentic. Yeah.
I didn't know. I lived here 2 years, but I didn't know like normal Aussie family life.
Of course, yes. Do you like it?
It's good, but
very different from Japanese.
You have to say that in case they're listening.
lots of roast chicken.
Roast chicken, yes, very very Australian.
I love it. And lots of cakes.
Yeah. This is not my home. I've got 3 kids. I'm not doing this stuff.
I know. Can we come over for dinner?
Yeah. Last week, like the afternoon tea party was like cousin family.
Oh, that's beautiful.
6 people.
Oh, they're only 6.
Four cakes.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, that's almost one each.
You should come to my family, waka, my family dinners. 6 people. You think 6 people's a lot? You know, come to a WOG family dinner. You'll have
how many cakes are your family?
Yeah, exactly. We have 1 cake a person. 12 cakes. I'm getting but yeah, that's awesome.
Lots of cream.
Yeah, we love cream. We love cream. It's very like English and British, I feel, to like cream, isn't it?
Probably. Don't point at me. I'm a vegan. But.
Me too. Sorry. Yeah.
I bake a cheesecake.
Yeah. You made?
I made a sweet potato cheesecake.
Oh, it's okay.
It's great, nice, but they put cream.
So much cream. Were you offended a bit? You were like, how dare you?
Sweet potato cheesecake. I never call like cream cheesecake. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
yesterday, I got the mango pudding from Asian supermarket. Yeah. And they put
cream with it. Yeah. I love cream. You're just in shock. What? You're like, thanks for ruining my dessert with cream.
Sorry,
Waka does not want cream.
You just like not as much. Like you don't need it on everything, but I feel like some people go a bit overboard.
I expect the things more.
Yeah.
You could
have
given me 1,000 guesses about what would offend you most about Australian life, and I'd never have got to the conclusion it was cream.
Yeah, with food. I feel like Japanese, like you guys know your food and you probably get very like, you know, picky about it. Like how dare you have, you
How
know?
Do you feel about ketchup? Because that's everywhere around here as well.
Yeah, tomato sauce.
Oh, yeah.
I hate it when Aussies, I get really funny about it. I'm like, why would you ruin this? Like, I remember I had an ex-boyfriend who used to put tomato sauce on lasagna.
Oh.
It's disgusting. So Aussie. Embarrassing.
My 9-year-old puts tomato sauce on eggs.
But he's nine. He is 9. That's normal for a 20-something-year-old to do that? I don't think
eggs
so.
Eggs isn't lasagna.
No, it's not. But lasagna's already got tomato sauce on it. So
that's why it's really weird. And also that's why we broke up. Like,
you ruined my mum's dinner.
I was like, what? Yeah. I was like, you're weird. No.
That's creepy.
What about yourself, Andrew?
I have an almost identical story to you. I went to drama school.
Oh, hello. We're both lesbians.
Did my 3 years of drama school because it turns out I was shit at math.
So. Same here.
Oh, what a shame. I had to get a degree that would mean very little 8 years later. But look at me now, Mum. Jazz hands. Still doing it. And then I was touring, like when I got out of drama school, there was just no jobs. And your agent sounds great. And if you could put me in contact, that'd
be
wonderful.
Oh, babe, of course, I can.
I haven't spoken to my agent. I don't know if she's got the Rona or not, but we haven't spoken in 6 months. She's out there somewhere. Tara, if you're listening to this, if I popped up on your Google alerts, give me a call, babe. I'm still stuck in Australia, but you wouldn't know because you haven't asked.
She's like, I hope Andrew's all right.
She's like, well, we never showed up to that audition last week. No, no one did because we shut down the tube. Anyway, so I was on tour. I'd written a solo sort of theatre show 5 or 6 years ago, and I was on tour, and I got to I got to Perth for the first time and someone said to me, they're like, do you know, if you do stand-up spots, it's a really good way to promote your show. And I was like, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And then the first gig I ever got offered, the promoter said to me, look, it's 300 people in a Spiegel tent. Have you done stand-up before? And I did that actor thing where you kind of like half the truth. And I went,
so true.
Yeah, he went, have you ever done stand-up before? And I was like, I've been on stage loads.
Yeah. The amount of times you go, yeah, I can surf, yeah, I can horse ride. You know what I mean? Like, if I go, can you do?
No. I've been on stage loads. And I got to this gig and there was a lot of people there. And I went, oh God, I hope this is easy. And it turns out it was. So,
yeah.
Fantastic. You know, 5 years later, it's now all I do. I get,
that's
like,
great.
Literally, I've monetized pub banter in the last 5 years. I get drunk, I hold a microphone, and I just tell the same stories I would tell if I was sat in the audience.
That's great. Yeah, I'm surprised that you get drunk. I can't drink before a gig.
No,
I can't drink before drinks.
But British.
I'm also a huge lightweight, and I feel like if I would drink, the show would be very different. It'd be a very different show.
I've slowed down a lot. I used to do like really drunk stand-up, and then I realized that if people are paying $30-$40 a ticket to see you, you have to at least throw together proper sentences. That's a bare minimum.
I feel like you're lucky though, you've got an accent. I feel like you've got the novelty.
Oh, it's a lot easier when you've got an accent. But if I go back to the UK, I don't have an accent.
Yeah, true, you don't.
Everyone sounds like me.
Yeah. That's why you should stay here. I feel like that's what a lot of comedians do.
I'm
from like
artist.
International. Like they just, it's just like, I'm not saying that in a bad way, as in like it's so funny how they'll be like, it's from the UK or from the US, and it's like they've been here for 7 years and they're just capitalizing on their accent, and I love it. And I'm also jealous. I can do accents. I might come on every night with a different one.
My show I'm writing for next year to tour around Australia is called Tea.
Oh, I love that.
How British can you get?
That's very that's really British.
Cool. Thank you very much. Technically.
All right, Governor.
Technically Indian, but you know.
Well, we won't go in and get into that. Yeah, that's another topic for another day.
You know, the scones with jam and cream too.
Like a double bill.
Yes.
What does your work aim to say about you in a creative way? Is there something that you're trying to express?
I think for me, when I first started writing, it was, a lot of the humor was a little bit roasty and a bit, you know, tongue in cheek. And I sort of wanted to play this persona on stage, probably like a heightened version of me who's actually very confident and not ashamed to be herself and sort of speak her mind. And it's amazing how as I've kept doing stand-up, as I've continued, a lot of my materials become very feminist, but in a very third wave feminist way, because I feel like third wave feminism, not many people are that familiar with it, but it's sort of the idea that like women can do whatever they want, but you know, sort of second wave I feel like has put us on the back pedal a little bit as women.
Yeah.
And I think for my, as I'm still writing and developing my stand-up, I want to empower women and also just let them know that you don't have to apologize or you don't have to put yourself down in order to be yourself sort of that kind of message. It sounds way deeper than it probably is.
Yeah.
But it's very like, it's amazing how my stand-up has become very relatable to women in the crowd. I'll have a lot of women coming up to me saying that they really appreciate what I'm saying on stage. But then also I've got some women who still don't get it. It's like, over their heads, they're like, oh, we know women who are just like that, sort of like, oh, you're making fun of women. And it's like, no, I'm making fun of how you see women, and I'm making fun of how it's always been a women against other women. We put other women down because of the society or the patriarchy, the way that we've been sort of conditioned. So
it's sad when that happens, actually.
Bit deep, sorry. Sort of what
much
I'm
much heavier answer than I was gonna give.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I don't even think that this was what I aimed to do when I started stand up, but it's just become my voice a little bit more now. Yeah.
But it's great you know that as well, and you know what
trying to make it that. Yeah.
You know, I think we all as a job have a really great platform to do stuff and say stuff as well. Those
like totally.
I found that for the first couple of shows that I wrote, the first couple of hours I did, they were good, but there wasn't really much of a point to them.
Oh, like,
And then my last show last year actually had like a meaning. I mean, it was tied into a story about how I took a dog's ketamine, but it was
but that's the thing. It's stand up. I don't think has to mean anything as long as it makes people laugh. But I feel like it's wild how as I kept writing, things that really mattered to me and things that I think as women we've been sort of had to suffer for, or you know, things that have affected us. I was like, why not talk about that, or why not make a point and make people laugh while you say it in order to kind of, I don't know, raise awareness or make people more alert to it. And I think it's pretty wild that I'm able to do that, or I'm trying to do that. So we'll see. I'm pretty green still. It's only been a few years, but yeah.
But it's great. And what about yourself, Andrew?
I've been writing now for 5 years, almost exclusively about myself. I found like the easiest subject was always to write about myself, and I end up in so many stupid situations. And also, I don't know if you guys, I find myself in situations where I can hear the voice in the back of my head saying, do the stupid thing, because it'd be really funny to tell that story later.
Do it for the laugh.
So many tattoos that I'm going to get to 60 and be like, why did I do that?
Because you're David Beckham. No, I'm kidding.
For example, I've got an anchor on my ankle, right? Which I thought might be a tribute to my hometown, but I was drunk and the voice in my head went, that's a really good tattoo. You should get that. The same time I got the anchor, my best friend got a tattoo with a letter W in my handwriting so that we both had a story about it for future.
That's cute. See, that's almost, I love that you're almost like doing things for the story, like that's like doing things for the Instagram.
But I don't think matching wanker tattoos is ever gonna be cute.
It might be, you never know.
And Waka, what about yourself?
I just talk about culture difference,
yeah,
like language barriers. I'm happy to not many Japanese people doing English comedy, so
yeah,
but and also it's quite tough to,
yeah. Has there been any barriers for you with that as
well? Yeah, so many things, and especially Japan is only island and only Japanese people living there, so it's very difficult to meet foreign people and foreign culture.
Yeah.
So in the stage, you have to be funny, but you have to be careful.
Okay.
I've heard now so many things, and I thought it's funny, but sometimes it's not funny, and it's not funny at all. It's dangerous or something like that. So many things.
Yeah. And you can sort of feel it sometimes, can't you, when when it's not funny with the crowd, and then, I don't know, you can regroup and... Change direction.
Totally.
I'll start the next question with you, Waka, as well. So what was your biggest learning curve or bomb that you've had on stage?
I think that was quite countryside Sydney gig.
Oh my god, of course.
And many Bogan there.
Yeah, Bogans don't get us, babe. I told you once, I'll tell you again.
Asian. It's not bomb. It's like they don't care.
They don't get it. Or they don't even want to get it.
Oh, so they weren't even listening to you.
Something like that.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's really tough to be on stage in that situation. And so you don't have the audience. Yeah. Eloise, what about yourself?
It's a pretty heavy story, but I did a... the first ever time I bombed, and it was the biggest bomb I ever had. And since then I haven't bombed, but I've just had experiences where people won't understand whether I'm doing a character or a persona, and they don't really get it. And I think people don't like confident women most of the time. So let alone one on stage who's like, I would never talk to you and I'm better than you. Like, that's not going to go down well with Bogans. Again, Waka and I have that in common. I was at the Universal Bar and I got asked to do comedy striptease. It was a fringe show.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was told by the boys who run it, and I don't think it's their fault completely. I think that it was also, they probably didn't think this would ever happen, because I was really green. It was my fourth gig ever. And I got on stage and I was told that I would never bomb. Like, no women have ever bombed. Like, I'll be fine. And I got on stage after the first guy and I completely, no laughs at all whatsoever. And I was in shock because I, fourth gig, I thought I was a, the queen of comedy, obviously. And I was just in shock. I never thought that nobody would ever misunderstand that I was playing a character. Maybe I'm just a really good actor. I don't know. Then after that, all the other guys that went on were very racist and homophobic, but they crushed. They did really. Oh. And I went, oh, fuck. I'm gonna have to strip. And I was beside myself. I didn't know what to do. And it was really traumatizing, because you can imagine, like, I was dancing in a fringe show at the time, and I would wear it was a cabaret, so I'd wear lingerie on stage, and a lot of the guys who were watching were like, oh, you'll be fine, you know, stage in underwear all the time. And I'm like, yeah, like, to dance on stage in your underwear, like, you prepare for that, like, you wear makeup, you wear, you know, everything under the sun, you wear tampons, you wear, like, you know what I mean, all that stuff. And I was really scared. Like, just imagine a group of people who hate you watching you, like, literally, like, they making absolutely hate you. Not even cheering, not even like, I would have preferred it if they were like, you suck. But they didn't even say anything. They were just like
silence.
Yeah. Wow. And so it was a horrible bomb and experience. And I feel bad because I posted about it on my Instagram and I think people were like, wow, she's really angry at the guys who run it. But I think it's just about like men being aware of how women in these situations might not have the same experience as every other woman or like every other male comedian. And I remember just going into my car and crying that I only took off my top and I had a bra on and then I was like, that's it. And the MC was like, aren't you going to take off your pants? And I was like, no, that's it, blah, blah, blah. And I stormed off stage. It was traumatizing.
It would have been.
So bad. But like, this is such a damp night. I feel really bad. But since I feel like I've had, Waka's been at gigs with me before where I'm like, they hated me, they didn't get me because I think the biggest learning curve as another part of the question, I just feel like I really need to either commit to the character or double down or sort of sometimes I purposely break character to get the audience on side. Like you saw me on this weekend at the Comedy Lounge, I purposely break so that people are like, oh, she's in on it. She knows that she's playing a character. I'm not actually a bitch. Like, I mean, maybe I am, but I'm not our bitch. I'm the bitch. That's the difference. Yeah. So,
what did you take away from the experience of doing that strip?
The comedy strip tease. Yeah. I think for me, it was just doesn't matter who you are, you can bomb because it was my fourth gig. I never thought I would ever bomb. I was like, I'm killing it. So I feel like what I got was that you can bomb whatever you do. I don't really feel like I'd be very good at a rural comedy gig. I feel like I probably should stick to my or just sort of like a crowd that will get me, predominantly women, predominantly people that are a bit more open-minded, probably a bit more liberal.
Yeah.
So I sort of feel like I don't know. I also, a lot of people say like, oh, don't blame the crowd. It's not the crowd's fault. But in that situation, I was like, oh, I don't know who to blame because I was like, oh, I've got to make them like me. But I was four gigs in. I was really fresh. And I feel like also just being transparent with bookers and just sort of being like, what kind of, are you sure I won't be in a shitty situation? Or just, especially as a woman in comedy, you've just got to be very,
definitely.
Very black and white with how things are.
Yep. Yeah.
And also ask for honesty from people. Don't let them butter you up and be like, you'll be fine. No women ever, you know, bomb. And you're like, okay. Don't believe everything you hear.
No, I get it. Andrew, what about yourself?
I've just been thinking about this. Oh, so many stories. I think for me, I did a couple of years ago, I was doing previews for a new show before Edinburgh. And I decided, in my ignorance, I was going to do a homecoming show. I grew up on the south of the UK in a little city called Portsmouth. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to do a homecoming show. So I spoke to a promoter down there and he's like, oh yeah, we've got this new night in this new pub. And I was like, oh yeah, that'll be fine. And I got there and it was like a naval pub full of like Navy officers. And despite what the YMCA teaches you, they don't dress like me, right? And they don't act like me and they don't think like me and they were not there. And I said before the gig started, I was like, so where is it? And they're like, oh, in the corner. I was like, what, not like upstairs in the upstairs room? Is there like a curtain we're going to pull up? Are they all going to? They're like, no, they just thought that they'd have it. Like, so they kept the horse racing on behind.
Oh, wow.
They had the comedy on. There was one guy who realized that so few people were listening to him that for 6 minutes of his 10-minute set, he just did pigeon impressions. Like very accurate pigeon impressions. They were incredible.
Amazing work.
I was booked to a preview, so I was meant to be on for minimum 45 minutes. And I got 20 minutes in and a guy at the bar put his hand up. Now, you are in trouble if a heckler doesn't know to shout. If he's put his hand up, and for some reason I went to him and I went, let's see, we have a question from the audience. And he looked me straight in the eye, this like big, like shaved head guy. And he went, hi, mate, I was just wondering, are you going to do any racist material? Because my friend Dave's coming down a bit and he's black. And that would be funny.
Oh my God.
And I said, no, it wouldn't.
That's a twist that I did not expect from that question.
It wouldn't. I did 30 minutes of the 45 minutes I was booked to do and the MC walked on stage and just whispered in my ear, you can finish now.
Get off.
And I just went, all right, well, thanks for having me. Good night.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
That was a long half hour of my life.
Like, very polite heckler. That was wild.
Yeah.
Very polite.
I only tend to get really polite heckler. For some reason, people find it really hard to heckle me. Good. I don't know what that is.
They must just like really you, Andrew. Maybe they just look at you and they go, oh. He's sweet.
Oh, you probably talk too fast. I can't get in. That's yeah, perfect. Right. That's what you need to do sometimes.
Real fast. Oh, give me that.
No, not in a bad way. I mean, like, no, in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't let them get spaces. One in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because people are generally polite, don't they? They wait for that gap in that. Yeah, maybe that's what it is. Yeah.
Mm.
All right, what's a common myth about being a comedian? Do you want to start, Walker?
What did you say?
What is a common myth about being a comedian?
What's a common myth?
Like
you know how people think that we don't have to have credit cards because we're all loaded?
Yeah, like what do they say about comedians that that's actually not true, but people think it's true?
And one that everyone usually says to me, or lots of people have said, is that you're funny all the time. So
yeah.
I can see your lover.
Like, did you ever, whenever you meet someone new, like in someone's family in particular, so like whenever you meet the girlfriend's family and they're like, all right, tell us a joke.
Always.
And you're like, oh, what are you doing? They're like, oh, I work in finance. Great, do my accounts.
Yeah, do my accounts.
I'm not at work
right now.
Sorry.
Funny. Like you're always on, aren't you?
And, or. Yeah. Do you get as an actor, is it going well then? You're like, would I be here?
Would I be here? That's what I always like, say. Yeah, I'm like,
would you recognise me from on
right
TV
now, if I
at
was...
the moment?
Oh, no, oh, it's...
Have you been in anything that I'd recognise
yeah,
you
I'd
from?
Recognize.
Oh, do you not think you'd recognise me if I had?
It's like, here, I'll send you my resume and you can pick apart what you've seen. I don't know, I'm trying to think of a myth that people... I feel like it's so funny that, like, yeah, being funny all the time, but also I feel like, I don't know... I hate the sort of, it's a very Australian and I guess American like comedian or maybe probably British too. It's just like American, a male comedian thing or probably female as well that like all comedians are depressed.
Oh,
I'm sort of like over people kind of capitalizing on that and being like, we're all actually really dark and depressed and like, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just like, I'm not. Like, I get very anxious, but I'm sort of like, okay, if you're depressed, like, why are you trying to make people laugh all the time? Like, yeah. Maybe you should do, like, accounting. Sorry, I'm so mean, but, like, I don't get that stupid thing that people try to capitalize on. It's so weird.
I think it's the obvious. I think people fake being depressed, but I think if the audience genuinely believe that someone's depressed, they won't laugh at them because
that's what
like
I mean.
Them.
I'm dead. Yeah. I'm sorry, but I've said it so many times. Self-deprecating humor is dead. I'm over it.
Yeah,
maybe it's because I don't do self-deprecating humor. I'm like, everybody, get with it, so that I can be famous.
Just raise the bar.
Yeah.
On the original question, I finally thought of one that I know. Mm. Like, do you know when you do a comedy club and you're emceeing and you're expected the MC to pick someone in the front row and go, "So what do you do for a job?" and then just have 6 minutes of material out of whatever they say. I'm really sorry, Daryl, but your finance job for Woodside is not humour. No matter how funny you think your job is, it's not.
Yeah. What about the myth that like women aren't funny? That's a pretty wild myth.
Yeah.
I'm always like, I've had guys come up to me at gigs. I've told this happened at our gig and this guy came up to me while I was there and he was like, you know, I actually don't think women are funny, but you've changed my mind. And I was like pissing myself because I was like, do you realize what you just said to me? I was like, thank you. And I was like, you're welcome. But also you're an asshole. Yeah. Like, shut up.
Yeah, did you need to come up
to me? Yeah, exactly.
To me?
Thanks for telling me. I was like, what am I supposed to kiss you now? Like, go away. That's so silly.
Oh, it's like having a counter. I've got another one.
I'm like, ding, I've converted another one. It's so weird, so silly.
That's one of those things on Comedian Bingo that you're like, oh, I've heard it now. Women
yeah, exactly.
Oh,
I got it. I've converted one.
Who are your biggest influencers? It could be another comedian or someone else in your family or, yeah, whoever.
Mm.
Mm. I like thinking.
Oh, my gosh. I've got a few, but I think when I first saw Joan Rivers, Natasha Leggero, Amy Schumer, and probably Chelsea Peretti, they were the first four that I saw on stage where I was like, oh, I can do comedy and I don't have to be a certain way or I'm not saying there's anything wrong with being self-deprecating or being a woman who doesn't dress up when they go on stage. Like, there's nothing wrong with that. But I think watching them and sort of seeing that they would play certain personas or play up this sort of hot girl persona, yeah. I kind of was like, oh my God, I could do this. Like I don't have to be a certain way. And also probably like my dad is very funny and I think he's influenced me a lot with just the way he talks about things and the way that he's sort of introduced a lot of comedians and comedy shows to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, he kind of like was the person that got me into it in the first place. And then from there I sort of went on my way. Yeah.
That's awesome. And Waka?
I don't watch any Netflix special or YouTube. Yep. I just go to the live comedy, watching comedians. So
Yeah.
All my like Sydney comedians, my inspired.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, that's great. So when you see someone on stage, that you feel inspired by them and
yeah
motivated.
Yeah. So I like the comedy on stage and also off to the stage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just normal conversation is sometimes comedy.
Yeah.
Sorry, different backstage, but sometimes it's same, similar. Just like the.
Yep. Yeah, I know because Cameron McLaren recently introduced you to us and he rates you. So, which is awesome.
He's very popular in the scene, Waka. Yeah. He's very in Sydney. He's a popular guy.
Which is great.
Yeah.
I think there's a real skill to comedians that you can watch on stage and be like, oh, I really want to be their friend.
Yeah.
So in particular, would absolutely love to just take Hannah Gadsby's dogs walking for her.
Yeah, bless. Of course. She'd love that.
Just a little, like, thing. Just like, she didn't even have to come with us. But I saw the dogs at the end of the net and I thought, do you know what? I'd dog sit for you, babe. Similar, like, on a similar vein to that, I really like James Acaster because he's so weird.
Love him.
But I also think that him and I having a pint would be so weird. But really
but
fun.
In a good way.
And I was telling a booker a club in London about this and she went, oh, you know every Tuesday he goes for tacos in the same place in Brixton. And there was legitimately a point in my mind where I went, how close does it get to stalking if I sit in this taco joint Tuesday? Well, I'm not going back to Brixton anytime soon.
Well, he actually, he's married me and Aaron Chen on his web series. I didn't get to meet him, but it just was like, I tell everybody that he was our celebrant in the series. So watch that and then you'll, you know.
Well, I'm so jealous.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. He's great. Oh, and another person who I find that sense of humor that's very inspiring is like Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
I mean, he's especially like as an actor, don't you find he's sort of like taken comedy and sort of like writing and producing on another level? I feel like
I like Ricky as well because he didn't do anything with his performance career until he was well into his 40s.
Oh yeah, he took his time.
The closer I get to 30, the more I think, well, I'm not Ricky Gervais age yet.
Yeah, totally. And even the women from Kath and Kim, like Jane Turner and Gina Riley, like I see what they've done. And I think as an actor to see what people have done with their comedy careers and produce shows or even, you know, Ab Fab and Jennifer Saunders. And there's so many inspiring people but with stand-up, I think those few that I mentioned, but there's so many that I could name, but they just came to my mind.
I think as well, if you watch Ricky Gervais, he's clever because he's not just a comedy writer. Like,
oh, totally.
If you look in The Office, there are some bits in that are heartbreaking.
He's very, very good at drama writing.
Afterlife, like, makes you cry in every episode. He's genius. Think? And he also liked one of my tweets this year. So
oh my god! Well, babe, you're see that beats my James Acaster story because I actually don't know him.
You know one of those things where I don't know Ricky Gervais. He just liked a tweet.
You
know one of those things where for your entire career you just meet famous people and you're fine with it, and then someone like Ricky Gervais likes your tweet, and you're like, oh my god, I gotta call my mom. It's all happening.
No, I totally feel that.
Screenshot that stuff, right? Yeah. Like, oh look.
So you should. It's huge. I'll send it to me. I'll frame it for you.
Thank you.
What's a quality that you like most in another person?
Oh, God, this is a good one.
Honesty. Yeah. I really like that. I really appreciate that more than anything in humans, just someone that's like honest with you.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, that's a good quality.
And being nice. It's so easy to be nice. It's so easy to be a dickhead, but it's really nice when someone's nice.
Yeah.
Especially like in this career, because it does feel like so much competition all the time.
Oh, don't you? It's so true.
So it's so very, nice very cutthroat. Another comedian's just nice to you.
Totally.
Like just when someone's your friend, rather than is trying to step on you to get to somewhere else.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a very competitive scene for sure.
I think in any situation, you've got to have an abundance mentality. So there is plenty for everyone. You don't have to have that competition with someone unless you are competing for a role.
Except in London where there's so many comedians and not enough spots.
I feel like that's with every industry. I feel like it's so funny though how it's a very – comedy's a very bitchy scene and I'm a dancer. I used to do musical theatre and I thought the people there were bitchy and then I was like, oh, like I felt a lot of – like I got a lot of like sort of I don't know how to say it, but like a lot of shit from comedians when I first started because I think they thought that I was threatening or whatever. And it's sort of, I, as you said, I think being nice, I feel like I try so hard to be nice to people, especially like overly nice, especially as a woman. I feel like you've got something we've been conditioned to do. My acting teacher used to call it like like smile mask. We're always smiling, always happy, always good. But she's like, you don't have to do that. But I'm like, I feel like we've been conditioned to do that because you don't want people to think that you're a bitch or, you know, especially because I play that character on stage. So I think niceness is a huge quality that, yeah, especially in this scene. Yeah.
And Waka, what about you?
What are we talking about?
A quality that you like in someone else.
Connection.
Mm. Yeah, that's beautiful as well.
Yeah, it's nice and but also connected.
And I agree with the comedian, making connection with comedians very tough because it's very hard to make close friends in the comedy industry.
Mm.
Yeah. But also, I also appreciate it. I think stand-up comedy industry is like somewhat like culture.
Yeah. Mm.
We don't talk. We just, you know.
Yeah. Perform, go.
Yeah.
It can be definitely.
We don't
definitely.
Have to talk, actually. We just sort of see this, they said each other and then we can understand somehow.
Exactly. Yeah. There's no obligation to hang out with comedians because I feel like it's very, you go perform and then you go. It's not like you have to go to rehearsals like an actor or a dancer or a singer. You kind of with a band, you know, you have to build a relationship. You don't have to do that with comedy. Like you said, like you just kind of go and watch them perform. Like
in the club circuit, you don't have to do that. But in the festival circuit,
see, festival's so different. I've never done festival circuit as a stand up. So I feel like, have you done festival?
Yeah.
So that's probably why you've got some close. I mean, I feel like I've gotten closer friends now. Yeah. But definitely at first I was like, I think they're all like, who the fuck is this? But like,
I think everyone starts off like that, by the way.
Yeah,
like,
you know, totally. Yeah, oh, totally.
Okay. But I think people are a bit standoffish to begin with. They kind of go, oh, who are you? What are you about?
Yeah.
And then they get to know you and they go, oh, no, you're genuine.
Totally.
Also, if you come out of nowhere and you're good, people are immediately threatened by that.
Isn't that wild? Yeah, right. It's so funny. I kind of like this quote that I saw. It's a while ago, but I think it's so important. It basically says like, you know, if you think the way that I carry myself makes me think that I'm better than you, go and see a therapist because it's like I'm not going to change myself to make you feel better or belittle myself to make you feel better about who you are. It's a very, very good quote we've all been, I think, told to do that. Make people feel comfortable for what?
What's something that highly motivates you?
Money.
I wish this was the industry for money. Like I think for me, I guess just trying to, I guess what motivates me is sort of being able to do what I love. And I think I really do love performing. And that's sort of why, like, I don't purposely make videos and things to become famous. Like, I joke about it. I'm always like, famous. Oh, my God, I'm so famous. And, you know, and people think, I think they go, wow, she's really obsessed with fame. But it's more that I think that it's an amazing skill to have and then to make a career out of it would be absolutely wild. Yeah. So I think that's what motivates me is just, I don't know, just like, I don't know, trying to get somewhere that's not – been done before or trying to, I don't even know where I'm going with this now, but yeah. I think there's so many things that could motivate me.
I've had this weird and dark fascination since I was really young where I realized that everyone only has one chance on the earth, and Einstein died a while ago and everyone knows who he is. Marilyn Monroe died a while ago. Everyone knows who they are.
Yeah.
You've got one chance to leave something that people can remember.
See, that's a good answer.
Right?
That's the answer I should have said.
So I set little goals and I'm like, and if someone remembers me for that, especially like someone that's going to outlive me, that'd be great.
Yeah. But that's such a good point. It's sort of the idea. That's what I'm trying, I guess what I was trying to say, I couldn't say it. You have to edit all that out, what I said before. Basically just the idea of like, you do only have one life. It's like, why not do things that you've always wanted to do? Like like for me, I've always wanted to do like ballroom dancing and stuff. Like, I mean, I used to do dancing, but I mean like just to do that or just to do stand up and be like, I'm just going to do it. And if I can do something out of that, like, it's just like, it's more just to be like, oh yeah, I've done that. I think that's what motivates me. Like ticking things off and sort of being like, oh yeah, if you could tell someone, your grandkids even, oh yeah, I've done that before. Yeah. Or like I did rock climbing or I did stand up, you know.
Yeah. One of my friends said to me the other day, seize the moment. And it's exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
Andrew.
Carpe diem. It's all right.
Waka, what about you?
Oh, you guys already talk about it. I think that to drink good beer.
Oh, good beer. What's your favorite beer then?
Oh, yeah.
Is it going to be Japanese?
Should I say?
You should say your favorite. Don't yeah. say. Don't just sure, say Perth because no. we're in Perth. I'm like, don't lie.
Tui.
Don't lie, Waka. We know that's not true.
Yeah, that goes to beer. And it's arena after yeah. the show. You do well.
Yeah.
The beers.
Oh, so yeah, that's like your reward afterwards.
Yeah. That's motivation.
Yeah. The audience. Oh, yeah. So funny when I want to drink and then get free drinks. And that's yeah. one with it.
That's funny.
Your entire crew has been built around free drinks. I love this.
That's yeah. That's why not.
At the end of a comedy night for me, like once we finish our show and I love to have my gin and tonic. It's like my reward. Like it's finished and everyone's happy. Everyone, it's done. It's great. You're feeling good. It's I'm with you there. It's nice. You're relaxing. Yeah.
Last year at Edinburgh, which oh my god, I'm not in Edinburgh right now. How great is this? No, it's actually great. I hate Edinburgh. It's like the longest month of my life.
Oh really?
And last year I did Free Fringe. So at the end of your show, you have to explain to people that this is your job and they do need to pay for it. So although it was free to come in, like they're expected to donate. And then people go, I've only got a card, and you're like, I got a card reader. You're like, fuck you.
nice people, way trying to get out of that.
When you're like asking people for donations, you get some weird stuff. So like last year at the end of my show, I looked in, I was like, what is that? And the guy just went, it's ketamine.
Oh, that's so funny. Wow.
And I had a really great day that day. It was a really good day.
That's awesome. All right, I've got a little bit of random questions for you guys. If you're a character in a book or a movie or a TV show, who would it be and why?
Oh my god! Book or movie or TV show? That's so broad.
I know. I have to expand because some people don't watch TV like me.
I think physically I look like one of the Thunderbirds, but
yeah, cool. Mentally, yeah. No kidding. Oh my god, this is so hard. I watch so much TV and movies and read too many books. I'm just so
really, I can't read, so this is real.
I don't know what to say. There's so many. Oh my god, I'm still thinking.
Who would I want to be?
Who would I want to be?
Who do you identify with?
I feel like I want to be Liz Hurley and Bedazzled, like just be the devil. I wish I could be like that. I guess that is a bit my persona. She's just like, doesn't give a fuck.
There's a bit of
Liz. She's hot. She's fun. But then, like, yeah, I feel like I probably a lot of people would say that I probably relate to like the mean girls in movies, like Regina George or, you know, Rose McGowan in Jawbreaker or whatever. But so maybe that's what I want to see my persona as. Like she's kind of like, because I feel like everyone sort of has a go at the mean girl. They're like, oh, she's such a bitch. But I was like, yeah, but everyone wants to be the mean girl.
Yeah.
Because she's like unapologetic.
Yeah.
I think a bit of me wants to be Danny DeVito in anything Danny DeVito has ever done. Except I'd like to be a foot and a half taller.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. True.
Cool Danny DeVito.
Yeah.
And Waka?
Oh. In a book or movie, what would you want to be?
Any Japanese character.
Oh. Yeah.
Like a movie.
Any Japanese character.
My English is the best quality.
Yeah.
Not too bad, not too good. I don't have to act.
I'm trying to think of like which Japanese character like in movies.
Movie.
Like, I'm trying to think.
Oh, there's lots, but do you like manga as well?
Yeah.
Would you be a manga character? Yeah, which one? That. Yeah.
I've got one. Oh, Tuxedo Mask in Sailor Moon.
I don't remember his voice.
He's hot. Waka.
Actually, the voice acting too. It's very talented. And also it's hard, but also.
Yeah.
That'd be very cool. Yeah. All right. What is the worst thing you guys have ever eaten? Food.
God. Worst thing though, not the best.
Not the best, the worst
thing I've ever eaten.
Yeah.
Like I said, I normally spend a month in Edinburgh, so like all sorts of terrible things. Like you get to a month where you're like, well, I guess I'll just eat whatever's around. I don't know. Do you know Grant Bousset? Have you ever met Grant?
Yeah, I know Grant.
So Grant and I were in Edinburgh a couple of years ago and we set ourselves a challenge. We only got to day one of it, but there was this fish and chip shop that would batter just about any of their food.
Oh my gosh.
So we were going to have, one day we were going to have a battered Mars bar, the next day it was going to be pizza, and we got to the end of the Mars bar and I was like, yeah, I'm done.
That sounds hot though. I'd eat that. I'd love that. A battered Mars bar.
It's like a whole lot of your whole fat and calorie content in one day, isn't it?
Surprisingly, it's not nice.
Oh, it's not?
No.
I feel like you'd have to like not eat that day to have one.
Yeah.
You'd have a really light meal and then have one.
Yeah, it's not good.
I'm like, oh, I've always wanted to have one.
And I recommend everyone does it once, just like in the same way I recommend everyone gets arrested once, just so that you realize you don't want to go to prison. Like,
oh yeah,
so many things.
Have
you
been arrested?
Yeah, only once.
Oh, do you want to tell us about that?
I've never been arrested.
It's not as fun a story as you think.
What'd you do, babe?
I used to be involved in this political activism group.
Yeah,
and we were on this big protest. And the police were trying to clear us out of an area. And as I was about to walk away, this policeman, they were all getting argy-bargy, their riot shields out, and this policeman reached through his riot shield and punched me. I was 18, right in the back of my head. And I spun around to argue with him because I don't like being punched in the head.
Fair
and
enough.
And then I was pulled over two rows of riot police. They sat me on the floor.
Whoa.
I got into the police station where they finally told me what I'd been arrested for, and I'd been arrested for assaulting a policeman. And when they wrote it up, my solicitor was like, this is ridiculous. You're saying that I assaulted a policeman when my face made contact with his fist.
Wow.
Yeah. That sounds like I might have been punched.
Yeah.
And then it all got dropped. But I recommend everyone gets arrested once. It's fun.
But also ACAB, all cops are bastards. I'm trying to think of what the worst thing I ate. I can't think. Worst thing.
Have you got a bad thing you've eaten?
Probably something Australian.
Yeah. Aussie food.
Roasted.
Did it have cream on it?
No, you have to say it. What is it though? Just any Aussie food?
No, Aussie food is good, but I just, I don't know.
It's not that good.
I reckon McDonald's is pretty bad.
I love coriander.
Why do Aussie people love coriander?
I love coriander.
What's wrong with coriander?
No, coriander's not good.
No, some people, for some people it tastes like soap, but for me it doesn't. So
it's good. I've had to reintroduce it into my diet because it's really good as a blood detox thing. Oh, it's bad, isn't it? You don't like it?
I think Japanese people, like almost Japanese people, don't like
it. It depends on what it... I feel like for some people it tastes good, for some people it doesn't. Apparently for some people it tastes like soap.
Yeah, I don't know if it tastes like soap.
That's what I've heard. I don't know. I've Googled that.
Even the smell, hey.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. I love it on every... I love coriander.
Mexican food.
Parsley or coriander, I feel like, I don't know, I love a lot of...
Parsley and basil, oh yeah.
Oh, can't go wrong. I'm trying to think of what, like, probably the worst thing I ate was like maybe like what... Probably just like, it's probably like a servo meat pie or something. Like, I don't know. Like, I would never, like at a footy game, like that I would never, like I never go to footy games, but my ex played footy, so I had to. And I think that's probably the worst thing.
Yeah.
Just like, I don't know. Some people, I think, don't have any idea, but I'm also come from a family where we have good food. So.
Yeah.
You know.
I come from a family that's half British and half Italian. We always had good food.
Yeah.
And talking about herbs, like the question was never like, oh, how much is too much oregano? It's like,
you have to put more. Yeah. Always more. Always more chili.
We only got this one tub. We just.
Yeah. Always more chili. Always more herbs. Mm. Can't go wrong. Doesn't hurt.
It really bothers me as well in Australia that you'll pronounce it pasta. Because it's pasta.
No, it's pasta. Pasta.
Constantly arguing with my girlfriend about this. And she's like, well, how do you know? I was like, because we're from Italy.
Yeah, pasta.
You know who calls it pasta? The Italians.
true.
Gotta be right.
You're right.
All right. What is the dumbest way that you've been injured?
Oh, no.
Hurt.
Oh, no. I've got a good one.
Hurt. Yeah. What's the dumbest way you've been hurt?
Oh, here we go. This is so stupid. This is my fault. But this is just one that came to mind because I love to dress up and I love to go to a party and I was very drunk and I was dressed up as I can't remember what the theme was, but I was dressed as a cheerleader and I was so drunk and I did the splits. I didn't stretch.
I
tore my glute on my left, on my right leg. And I woke up and I was like, why can't I walk? Why can't I walk properly? And I just remember I played soccer at the time and I was dancing at the time. And I had to tell my coach and my dance teacher, I was like, oh, I did it at soccer, or like, oh, I did it at dancing. And I just remember being like, you dumb idiot. Like, why would you, what a show off. Like, of course, like such an extrovert, couldn't help myself and just did the splits for everyone. Cause I was like, I want to be a cheerleader and I'm going to commit. That's how committed I am to the character. I'm an idiot. But yeah, that was the first one that came to mind. It's probably way more.
When I was younger, I fell off a bouncy castle at my friend's mum's 40th birthday party.
Love that.
And I
40th.
Fell off a bouncy castle onto this one like very jagged rock and I just sliced all of my leg open.
Oh no.
But my friend's mum was a nurse at the A&E, and everyone at her birthday party was either a doctor or a nurse. I was in the best place.
Oh, wow. You that's amazing.
Yeah.
Thank God.
Yeah, they like glued me up with stuff they just had in the house, and then they sent me to the hospital anyway.
Oh, oh no. My gosh. Lucky.
And I got out of PE for 2 weeks. It was great.
And Waka?
Have you been hurt? Have you before? Been hurt? You probably haven't. You're so sensible. Oh, yeah. You're Japanese.
Actually, no.
Oh, never been hurt.
I haven't been like that much like hospital. Yeah. Ninja. I never.
Really?
Yeah. It's just because you're Japanese. Because you're sensible.
Right, ninja.
Yeah.
And ninja. I knew there was something. That's why you came all in black today.
Yeah, I never broke my bone either.
I've only fractured a finger. Yeah, no. That was at soccer. They put me in goals.
I broke a toe when I was acting. I was doing a version of Alice in Wonderland set in this garden that was owned by the royal family. It was really
love
cool.
That.
The White Rabbit. We used to have to do 5 shows a day. They're only half hour long, but on show 2 of a 5 show day, the White Rabbit bounded on stage, tripped, and I broke a toe.
Breaking toes are the worst because you can't fix them.
Yeah, because you've got to do another 4 shows in a character that primarily bounces.
Oh my God. Did you just tape it up?
I just got on with it. Yeah.
Oh my you can't gosh. Do anything else with toes. It's really like, the amount of girls I've seen break toes.
No,
it's so bad.
No, when I moved to Sydney, I'm very clumsy, so Waka, I admire that you've not hurt yourself. I constantly hurt myself. But when I moved to Sydney many years ago, my car was at a pickup point and I was with my sister-in-law. It had been raining. I climb up these stairs and I slipped and I had the imprint of the staircase all down my ass down my leg. Oh my and God. That's where the bruise was all down me. And I jumped up. I was hurt, but I jumped up and pretended I was okay because I was so embarrassed.
God. You poor thing. Oh, you poor thing.
You just reminded me of a slip and fall story that I had last year. It was in Edinburgh and Edinburgh is not like Perth. It rains every day.
Of course.
Every
the opposite.
Day, obviously. And I was walking down Cowgate to go to my own show last year and it had been like flooding in Cowgate and it's all cobbled stones and I just slipped and I went right down and I just lay there in this puddle and this guy came over and I was like, this is it, I'm being mugged.
Oh my god, that's so.
And he went, you're right, mate. And I was so taken aback that I just went, yeah, I think I'm quite close to 30 now. He went, what do you mean? And I was like, well, 6 years ago I'd have slipped over and got up, but I'm just going to lay in this puddle for a bit.
I just want to hang out in this puddle.
And the guy went, all right then. And walked up, just left me there.
That's
in
so,
the road in a
so
puddle.
British. Yeah. So British. All right. See you later.
All right, cool. I've done my obligation.
Yeah, like, for sure.
You didn't ask for help. I'm on. Toodle pit. Fare thee well.
Oh, God.
Oh, that's funny. Have you guys got a joke that you could share with us?
Oh, God, I was thinking on the way. I've only got, it's pretty hacky, but I can do one of my first jokes I ever did.
Go on.
To do with my last name. So I say my last name is Eftos, and people think it's really funny because it sounds like Eftpos, and guys make, dirty jokes like, oh, can I stick my card in your slot? And I'm like, and I go, no, you seem like more of a tap and go kind of guy.
That's pretty good.
That's and
awesome.
That was like the first joke. I don't do that on stage anymore, but that is it's a cute little funny. Joke about my last name.
Well played as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, have you got one?
I wrote a joke last night.
You brought a book.
Look at him. See,
I'm going to have to go through notes on my
phone. The Japanese over. See, they're so much more prepared than us.
Yeah, go for it.
Politician is like a cockroach.
Yep. Yes.
They both shit. And they both hit by newspaper. Make sense?
Yeah.
And they both would survive nuclear holocaust.
Oh my God.
But difference is a politician refused to get in the bin.
Yes. Hello.
I love that cockroaches and politicians both.
I feel like as
press.
Soon as you just opened that joke, I was like, yeah, they are very similar. I was like, you don't even have to keep because I was like, this
was my first politics joke.
I like it. Very political. Very I love good. It.
So I like that you pulled out a notepad. So I immediately went to my phone and just went, oh, let's have a look at all the notes that I've made during lockdown. And all I've written is, some people are like me. Condoms. My mum. Portugal, Sweden, Lion King. So if you can make a joke from that, write in.
That is great. I love that joke. That premise.
That is the basis of my next show.
I love it.
I like that. So you write notes, Waka, to formulate your jokes and you're putting them into your phone.
Put like things in my phone and they're not real jokes and they're not formed, and I should have been way more prepared for the one question you told me was going to come up at this point.
No, I was driving here and I was going, oh my God, I'm just going to have to go to my one of my first jokes. I felt really...
That's great.
I was like, what jokes have had a profound impact on me? My granddad used to tell me a joke which wasn't a joke at all. It was, my dog has no nose, and then you go, oh, how does he smell? And everyone expects your granddad to go, horrible. My granddad went, well, he has a very complicated process where he uses the feeling to actually scent things, so he actually just touches things. Not a joke.
That's not a joke. It's just, no, but I can imagine your grandfather said it really funny though. That's
Did it so good. And See? Then he did a thing where he pulled a penny out of my nose. It was awesome.
Yeah, he sounds top.
That's very clever.
What a legend.
Bless.
If people wanted to find you guys on social media, where would they find you?
I'm on Instagram under the name Weezer Squeezer, WEEZASQUEEZA. Basically, my sister couldn't say my name when she was little, so I get called Weezer, Eloisa, Weezer. And yeah, I post a lot of silly videos and stories and things. So yeah, and I post all my gigs and donation links as well. You know, very important as we're in lockdown. So yeah, hopefully you can follow me on there.
Awesome. Waka?
Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Or Waka Waka Yay Yay.
Waka Waka Yay Yay. Yep. That's great.
Yeah. Song,
yeah.
Shakira.
Yeah. This time for Africa.
I thought it's Yay Yay. That's why I changed the name to the Instagram Waka Waka Yay Yay, and then check the lyrics. It's not Yay Yay. It's AA.
Yeah, but you've made it better, Waka. Yeah. I like yours better.
Yeah, you own it. Yeah. And Andrew?
I'm on Instagram at Andrew Silverwood. I'm on TikTok at Andrew Silverwood. I'm on Ko-fi at Andrew Silverwood. I'm on Facebook at The Andrew Silverwood. Because someone took Andrew Silverwood.
Of course.
That's all right. We've got a few shows coming up with NY Events, and you can find us at www.nyevents.com.au/comedy or on Instagram and Facebook as well. Thank you guys so much for coming in today.
I look forward
to working with you all very soon, especially while you're here.
Yes, thank you for having us.
I love that you're stuck here.
Yeah, I know. It's like, great.
So thanks for listening. You're listening in on Bounce Back, and I'm Yvonne Fletcher, and this is DRN1. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye. Woo.